Shalom, Australia. For most of the week, Australia was in the headlines here as Israelis followed with interest Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's visit down under. After a brief but friendly visit to Singapore, where Netanyahu had meetings with Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong and President Tony Tan Ken Yam, but held no large public gatherings, the Australian visit provided many media opportunities. Beginning with the journey, which included a two-hour detour from Singapore, apparently to avoid the El Al plane flying over airspace belonging to Indonesia, with which Israel does not have formal diplomatic relations, the large media contingent kept the public here informed on the formal political meetings and the community events, including the events at Central Synagogue and Moriah College. Prime Minister Netanyahu on Wednesday praised Australia for being courageously willing to puncture UN hypocrisy on resolutions singling out Israel for condemnation. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull described Australia as a committed and consistent friend of Israel and praised the two countries' shared values, democracy, freedom, rule of law, describing Israel as a truly miraculous nation. He also reiterated Australia's support for a two-state solution to resolve the Palestinian conflict, as had the head of state in Singapore. Meetings with Julie Bishop and a visit to the Botanic Gardens were the last items reported. Elo Azaria, aged 21, was sentenced on Tuesday to 18 months in prison for manslaughter and handed an additional two suspended sentences, one for 12 months and the other for six, by the military court at the IDF headquarters in Tel Aviv. He was also demoted in rank to private. Azaria had been filmed shooting and killing Abdul Fattah al-Sharif, who was lying on the ground wounded and disarmed minutes after stabbing a soldier in the West Bank city of Hebron in March last year. The case has deeply divided the country. Chief Prosecutor Lieutenant Colonel Nadav Weissman said in a statement after sentencing that the jail term would send a message to commanders about upholding the army's values. We know this was not an easy day for the accused and his family, but justice needed to be done and justice was done. Reading out the sentence, Helen noted that Azaria violated the army's value of purity of the weapon and its rules of engagement. In the sentence, the judges centered much of their criticism on the army for not taking better care of Azaria's family and on the defense minister and army spokesperson for interfering in the legal proceedings by making statements to the press soon after the incident, before the court reached its decision. The United Nations Human Rights Office on Friday denounced the prison sentence handed to Azaria as unacceptable. Ravina Chandasani, spokesperson for the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, said in Geneva, "While the prosecution and conviction are very welcome steps towards accountability, the punishment, which is excessively lenient, is difficult to reconcile with the intentional killing of an unarmed and prone individual." The Judicial Appointments Committee announced on Wednesday that it had appointed David Mintz, Yael Vilna, Yosef Elron, and George Kara to the 15-member Supreme Court out of a shortlist of 27 candidates. A police probe into the deadly shooting last month of the Bedouin man as his car struck and killed a policeman in the unrecognized Bedouin village of Umm al-Hiran revealed a breakdown in operational procedures in the lead-up to the operation. Police were still gathering testimony as part of the probe into the incident, which authorities first claimed as a ramming terror attack. A charge the family of the suspect, Yaqub Musa Abul Al-Kiyan, had vehemently denied, arguing that he was shot before his car sped up, leading him to lose control of the vehicle. Internal Security Minister Gilad Erdan changed his language. Immediately after the incident, he spoke of the death of a terrorist. Last week, he spoke about the death of an Israeli citizen. It was revealed this week that a Justice Ministry investigation has found that the January incident was not terrorism. Israeli aircraft targeted Syrian army positions, including a convoy bearing weapons for Hezbollah, at approximately 3:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. The strike was said to have occurred in the Kalamun Mountains northeast of Damascus, close to the Lebanese border. An Israeli Defense Force spokesperson refused to comment on the strike. Dozens of Lebanese citizens demonstrated on the Israeli border across from Kibbutz Manara yesterday and were dispersed by Israeli troops. Some of the demonstrators crossed the international borderline with Israel, though not through the security fence which lies inside Israeli territory. IDF troops fired smoke grenades and tear gas towards the protesters, and the crowd dispersed. The demonstration was a response to Hezbollah claims that Israeli troops had crossed the border in the area and installed spying equipment. Health Minister Yaakov Litzman vowed on Sunday to crack down on old age homes accused of abusing residents after a video was broadcast over the weekend showing what appeared to be a systematic abuse of residents at a facility in Haifa. Litzman said raids were carried out by ministry officials at 10 more old age homes last Sunday after 5 people were arrested earlier in the day at the Na'ot Kipat Hazahav old age home in Haifa. Litzman said the ministry would thoroughly review and improve procedures at the country's old age homes, including a firing of a number of workers and management officials. Major roads and key thoroughfares were blocked to traffic in Tel Aviv on Friday for the city's annual marathon, with a record number of 40,000 runners from across the country and abroad taking part. Ethiopian runner Balatat Mekonnen won the full marathon, crossing the finishing line after 2 hours and 12 minutes. Other than the main 42-kilometer run, the events also included a half-marathon route and several shorter races. The first, a hand cycling race, began at 6:30 a.m., with the half-marathon starting a little later, and the full marathon kicked off at 7 a.m., and the other 10-kilometer and 5-kilometer routes were staggered throughout the morning. Afghan baby Yaqub was born with a congenital heart disease that prevents blood from getting to the lungs and oxidizing. He lived at death's door. His father, a wheat and rice farmer from the Bahlan province in northern Afghanistan, was unable to afford the surgery he needed, and he left his son's fate in God's hands. When his case became known through Facebook, the Israeli charity Save a Child's Heart, which provides free surgeries from children for developing countries, raised the funds for Yaqub's surgery and the tickets for him and his father to come here to Israel. Save a Child's Heart also did the groundwork to get Yaqub and his father visas to Israel, overcoming the fact that Israel and Afghanistan don't have diplomatic relations. Dr. Haggai Dekel, the Israeli cardiac surgeon who operated on him hours later at the Wolfson Medical Center in Holon, said that Yaakov, now 2 years old when he arrived at Ben Gurion Airport on February the 14th, had his skin the color pale blue. He was half dead. And he is now recovering and expected to gradually achieve the milestones for children of his age. This is the second time the life of an Afghan baby has been saved by the project. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.